Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, hello, welcome to another episode of But Am I Wrong? Starring two people who have never been
wrong.
Not once ever, ever, truly. Even when I took five different streets that I was not supposed to take while driving.
But that wasn't your fault.
No.
Because the GPS is wrong.
Exactly. And there was construction, which universally construction is always wrong.
Yeah. But this is like making a metro stop, right? That's what that construction is.
Are they still doing that?
Yes.
It's been 84 years.
2 million years.
I thought they gave up on it.
No, that's what that is.
You're kidding
me. No.
Wow. And before anyone gets it twisted, I'm not against public transportation. Los Angeles desperately needs public transportation, but the city is doing it, but also simultaneously resisting.
Mm-hmm.
And half of Los Angeles has their own like governing districts. So then those places aren't doing anything and then stopping certain things. So it's not going to make any sense.
Yep. It'll make sense for the people that need it right there, but it's not going to make sense on a whole LA level because it's not going to get everywhere. So they're going to have to get on a bus, like if they need to get further.
Yeah. I really thought that they decided they were done with that.
Nope, that's what that is. You thought they just built a little bit and they're
like... Yeah, and then they were like, actually, no, like, psych, never mind. Because then there's the whole bullet train.
Yeah.
Elon Musk thing.
Well, he just did... I read something and I don't remember what it was, but he proposed that for a specific reason. Like, it was never going to be something he was ever going to pursue, but there was a specific reason. It wasn't... I'm sure taxes were in it, but it wasn't specifically taxes. It was to stop something else.
Checks out. I can't believe that.
Yep.
Wow. 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 Speaking of Elon Musk, someone who's always wrong, he is literally the exact kind of person that we talk about on this podcast.
Enemy of the pod.
Oh, yeah. He's like really up top there. Enemy of the pod. I thought of someone else who was an enemy of the podcast recently. There's just so many, but now I can't think. I don't know. I'm sure it will come to me.
Okay.
As there's constantly brand new enemies of the podcast. Uh-huh. But this is a podcast where we talk about our own lives, things that we think we might have been in the wrong for, or things that we're like, definitely was not in the wrong for. What do you think? And then we read your email submissions and we tell you if you were the hero or the villain in your story. And then finally, we round it all up with the But Are They Wrong segment, where we nominate the Rachel of the Week, the Worst of the Week, the Woat of all time in the last 7 to 10 business days. And we just talk shit on people who deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that cathartic?
It is. I
do need to take my second Adderall.
Okay. But I wake up in the morning on Tuesdays. And I have to remember, like, sometimes I feel like I don't get enough work done on Tuesdays. But I have to remember, like, this show takes research. So like, this is literally like if we were working a 9 to 5, this is what we do all day for both of our shows. And we have to, you know, actually look into things and do just, you know, get angry about things that are happening in the world. But we're also educating people.
Yeah, it should be. Not only should we be compensated by the government, we should also not have to pay taxes on this income.
Yeah,
because we're doing it's community service.
Uh-huh.
And a charitable donation.
Basically like a news company, you know.
You know who's also an enemy of the podcast? Not who I was thinking about. Matt Lauer, enemy of the podcast.
Yeah.
Your hair looks phenomenal.
Thank you. I was going to wash it on Sunday, so then I just kept it back in a ponytail instead of untwisting it. And then I had no energy and I didn't feel like doing it. So I didn't do it. And then it just kind of was in a ponytail all week. So it didn't have the, like, how it usually looks. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, I'll throw it out.
It looks...
I wet it in the shower and then throw it out.
It looks so good.
Thank you.
But you still got in the shower.
Yes, I still shower. I shower. I've been working out, so I've got a shower
every day. Yeah, she works out. I hope everyone follows Melissa on Instagram so you can see 1:15 a.m. bitch on a fucking rowing machine.
I was boxing. But yes, I was.
Okay, well, it was 1:15 a.m. I wasn't really close to paying attention.
I do my warm-ups on the rowing machine, so you weren't wrong. Again, not wrong.
I never am.
Yeah.
I, like, can't even relate. Like, you working out and then me coming here being like, I walked 5 blocks and I'm not okay.
But also same, which is why I've started working out a third of the amount that, because I had stopped because I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I can still do this, but like.
If you're pushing yourselves, like, I could technically, but why?
Yeah. So I'm like, I'll just do a third of it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a lot better. I'm not sore, but I feel like I've worked out. I am very much out of breath, but I'm like, I've put in enough.
Like, literally, like, I don't know why we have this, like, idea that it's like, no, you have to, like, literally grind, run your body into, for what? Are you training to be in a new Marvel movie?
I think because when gym classes started, they're like, we can't just have people here for 20 minutes. So we've got to have people here for a full hour so we can, like, make money. And so I think that's where it started.
I meant PE at first. I was like, I don't think my PE teachers were like
No. Like,
like athletic class. Yeah. Uh-huh. That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's all a scam. Like, all of that shit is a scam.
Yep. Everything's a scam. And I will have that in my, but am I wrong this week too?
Oh my God. I love scams.
Yeah.
I love a good scam. So if you want to write in for an upcoming segment for But Are You Wrong, you can send us an email at butamiwrongpod@gmail.com. And got to keep it under 300 words. Let us know your pronouns if you would like. Ages of everybody involved. It is all anonymous. So use pseudonyms for friends or family or people included.
Or enemies
or pets. Oh, what's one of the best parts about this podcast?
One of the best things about this podcast is that y'all get to participate. So go to our Instagram, Megan and Melissa, and we...
we put the votes up.
Yeah, I send Megan a little link.
Mm-hmm. And then I copy and paste. And sometimes if my Adderall is, like, working, then I will, like, reformat if it doesn't make sense grammatically. Other times it will just straight up copy and paste.
And I'm like, why? Because I feel like I've already put in the work for reviewing the episode. So no, I put in minimum work. So.
And it's fine.
Yeah. So y'all vote. It'll be up before Tuesday. And
you vote for who's wrong.
Can I... No. Finish shit.
My Adderall is not kicked in yet.
And y'all vote for who's wrong in the situations. Also, when you're writing in, please do not ask if you're wrong for your feelings.
Don't do it. I was literally going to make a joke that I needed like a ball. I was like, somebody's just, I just need a ball gag until my Adderall works. And I was like, to be fair, that also, if it was a small ball gag, that would really help my TMJ pain, a little stretchy. Because my jaw has been out for like 3 weeks. And now it's just like, this is the new normal. And so I just like can't really open my mouth wide at all. So I've been making my little gluten-free sandwiches and I have to do my own version of, I can't do like an actual panini press because it gets too crispy and then I have to chew too much and then it hurts my jaw. So I have to do like my DIY. So I like make my sandwich and then I have to squish it as much as possible. I was going to say,
why don't you roll it? Pin roll it before.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah. So pin roll the bread first. Well, you gave me one, so.
Yeah, no, I definitely have one. I just don't know where it is because things.
Yeah, I know.
Are not.
I just found my headphones.
Yeah. There is a heat wave happening in Los Angeles right now. And this is how hot it is. I need it to not be so hot so I can install my AC in the room that is the hottest room.
God damn it.
We can't even put curtains up in there because it literally gets to like. It's just all windows, all like it has sun almost like the whole daylight. It has just all sun. It gets like 120 degrees in this room and you can't do anything. So like it's so messy. We don't have curtains up to like make it cool down or the AC installed in there.
I do have these little fan thingies. They're like AC essentially, mm-hmm. but like you put the little, there's a thing that you put in the freezer and then you stick it in there and it makes the room like 10 degrees cooler. Would you light them?
Yeah.
Okay.
What the fuck is that? I saw someone doing a DIY like air conditioning unit and they were like using like ice and water. And well, I was
this
like,
this is like the same. You wet it and you put it in the freezer.
Well, that's better than like still water. Cause that's the part that stresses. Cause that's like scary. Mold.
Yeah. 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 This does have water in it, but it, the tank, the way the tank is made, like it's an official thing, not like a DIY thing. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So I just cannot wait for the temperature to drop just a little bit so I can actually.
I think if you put those in there, you can at least put the curtains up.
Yeah. Wow. You're a great neighbor. Constant ideas and just solutions.
Just give me a ring.
You're, get it. You're full of solutions. Now that's a great time to promo the video version of this podcast so you can see the great little bit that we just did.
Uh-huh.
It was fantastic. Uh-huh. It's on Patreon. $1 a month. $1? Just $1. What is that from?
I don't know.
It's like $1 and someone goes, I think it has to have been a commercial. And it's like this like southern part, like $1?
No clue. Don't make fun of my people.
So sorry. Matthew McConaughey is, I'm allowed to. Isn't he?
He's from Texas.
Yeah.
Remember he was going to run for governor?
Here's the thing. He gave me Interstellar and I'm like, sir, I can't back you for your political dreams. I can back you if you would like to make Interstellar too. And I know that it was a controversial movie and some people hated it, but as its number one fan, I'm here to pioneer. I'm like, I'll be fucking the street team, Matthew McConaughey, Interstellar
too. I like him. I have no issues with him except for him not declaring what party he was going to run under.
Yeah, that's my issue. And that,
I think I think it was Democrat and he didn't want to alienate some of his base.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But that was that paired with his book came out around the same time. And
I don't know anything about this book.
Oh, it is. Think of the Matthew McConaughey version of the Kim Kardashian selfie book. I'm pretty sure it's just like inspirational quotes.
Again, know nothing about Kim Kardashian that
did a book
together.
Of just selfies. And I think Matthew McConaughey did a book of just like Pinterest quotes. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on it. But actually, I'm
it
never
might have
wrong.
Been like old folksy like sayings from like South type stuff. That would be up his alley.
Let me look it up.
Not folksy. It would be Southern. Probably stuff, you know, there's stuff my grandmother said.
The folk movement also
stuff me mom
didn't
said.
Come out just from coastal cities.
I know, but I'm just saying that would not be the right saying. Folksy wouldn't be right in that.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's a memoir. Maybe I'm making all of this up.
All right, all right, all right.
He's really good.
I've loved him since How to Lose a Guy in 13. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
You got 3 extra days. Okay, these are some of the quotes from it. Relatively, we are going to die. Life is our resume. It is our story to tell.
You have to say it in his accent, though.
I can't.
Relatively, we're all going to die.
It's our story to tell.
It's our story to tell.
And the choices.
And the choices.
We make. We write the chapters.
Write the chapters.
Can we live in a way?
Can we live in a way?
Where we look forward.
Where we look forward.
To looking back.
To looking back.
I think they're just, it's just a little Pinteresty. Don't walk into a place like you want to buy it. Walk in like you own it. Do you think he read Rachel Hollis's book? Wow, I don't understand any of these quotes. There's nothing wrong with smoking a little fun stuff and playing your drums naked at the night in your own home. Who do they think they are coming in your house like that? What is the context?
Because people used to make fun of him for sitting at the beach with his little bongos naked.
I was going to ask, do you think people care about us reading the results?
Everyone.
Everyone. So we always read the results. And I've been thinking, because we had to cut down, we now only do one email submission each. Do you care for us to read the results? Do you like that? Do you want that? Do you want us to get into our first segment and not read the results from the previous week? Go comment on our Instagram and let us know if you are like, read the results or don't read the results. Thanks. But we don't know what you're saying yet, so we're going to read the results first.
Okay, here we go.
Okay. Wow, episode 40.
Yeah.
Hey, look at us.
We're recording 42 right now.
42!
Melissa, filming people without consent. Not me doing it. That was just my...
Sorry. My bad.
That was just like me, you know, proposing that.
Yeah.
And this
so sorry.
Perfect score. 0%, 100% said that I was not wrong.
I need to issue an apology. I accidentally uploaded these twice, and then I had to delete the other stories because I posted them twice.
Oh.
And I thought I deleted the new stories, and the old stories were, like, that was the one who had more votes, because I uploaded them, like...
As you've said, now three...
No, but I uploaded them an hour apart from each other. Oh. Like, I just...
You just forgot.
Forgot that I already did it. And so I did it again. Then I was like, oh, shit, I should delete this. And then I deleted the older ones. So the voting pool is a little bit smaller. But I will say that everybody in this voting pool, you are doing so much better than when it's everybody. Because now we know that it's just some people have problems, but it's not the masses.
Okay.
So... But don't worry. Someone still did need to vote that I was wrong for mine, which was Weight Watchers should go away. My singular vote for me. Let's see if you sent a message. They said they voted wrong and they hate Weight Watchers. So 100% said Megan is not wrong. Good to know. And people who message asking, is this about so-and-so?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Goodness, I feel like I made it pretty obvious, but I'm just not in the camp or the business of naming people. Like, I will name people if you are, like, outwardly racist, fatphobic, homophobic, transphobic. But if you do something that, like, ethically I do not align with, and, like, you haven't said something, but your actions have been like that, like, I will call out your actions because those actions aren't specific to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not, like, that's, like, things that a lot of people do, and it's a bigger issue, and it's not just one person.
And we've got writer number one versus ex who misses their pet. 3% said the writer is wrong. 97% said the ex, family, and friends are wrong. And we had a lot of people actually writing in talking about that they have or have experience with toxic exes trying to do this as a way to control or manipulate people. So
yeah, and there's, like, no outcome of, like, actually co-parenting mm-hmm. a pet. It's just a manipulation tactic. Yeah. And then when they realize it's not working, they have zero interest in it. Yeah.
And we actually have that as a call on Don't Blame Me one time.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we have writer number two who wants to leave a wedding early because their husband's ex is there versus husband who wants to stay to party with his friends and family. 95% said the writer is wrong and 5% said the husband is wrong. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. So my wrong nomination for wrong of the week was Alan Rothstein, landlord who made tenant sign the sex contract. 99% said the pervert is wrong and 1% said the pervert is not wrong, but they wrote it and said they voted wrong. I remember seeing it.
I almost instead said the crypt keeper because
he does look.
Oh, this. I have a really strong feelings towards men losing their hair. And I think that there's nothing wrong with being bald. And no. Sometimes you don't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
But please, please, just go all the way. When you are taking that, like, small little piece of hair, like, I don't know if you can tell.
I can tell.
It's, he's taken any residual.
And just kind of and just smushed
pushed
it back.
And, like, push some towards the front. So I'm just getting these, like, little wispies there right at the front. And you're a pervert, man. And your haircut, I don't even need to know you before I know that you're a pervert based on your hair.
Yep.
A hair tells a lot about a person. Uh-huh. And don't tell the story. Well, actually, this fits you. So thank you for making it match. The insides match the outsides.
Yeah. Like,
and then for my wrong of the week, I picked the conservative dating app. And 82% said the app is wrong. And sorry, I clicked out of it and then I couldn't do quick math, obviously. And then 18% said the app is not wrong. And both you and I may or may not have voted with the app is not wrong. We're on the same page.
Kick them out.
Vote them off the island altogether. Let yourself implode. I beg of you to self-implode. And don't be hoodwinking, bamboozling liberals anymore.
But if you're a liberal that wants to hoodwink, bamboozle a conservative and get on the app and, you know.
Screenshot. I would love to see it.
Do the Lord's work. And I've talked about how I'm, like, anti showing pictures of people on Tinder.
Well, that only applies to people who deserve privacy and respect.
Exactly.
And conservatives don't deserve either.
Because they try to take away people's rights. Yeah. So
Uno reverse. Yes. I just hand an Uno reverse card. Uno reverse. Okay.
Okay.
We've had too much time together.
We're going to take a break.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by a sponsor we love, 310 Nutrition. 310 Nutrition is helping us, you, our listeners, in the new year with protein and superfood rich products with so many options and flavors for your personal preferences. They're adding new products all of the time, and I just got my, I mean, I didn't just get my package. I just got a secondary of my package. And I, as someone who needs electrolytes to function, there it's like elixir from the gods. I cannot sing their praises enough, specifically the cucumber flavor of this electrolyte mix is delicious. Like it's so good. I've even like had it on like ice and been like, I'm drinking like a drink. Like you can throw a little straw in there. And it's delicious. It's so good. And I love, they're filled with so many great ingredients that really help if you're like me and you like, you know, medically need some electrolytes, but also if you're working out, if you're sweating, hot summer day, you're going to an amusement park, you're on your feet for a long period of time, all of that. Most of us are not getting the electrolytes we need.
Yeah, I drink mine specifically when I am working out. It's my beverage while I'm working out. I just take one stick of the hydrate, mix it in with my bottle of water. 16 ounces of water can provide the same amount of hydration equal to drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water if you got that hydrate in there. They also have the all-in-one shakes, which I absolutely love. I'm running low, so I gotta get some more. But I love the chocolate bliss, the vanilla cream, the caramel sundae. I have all three of those flavors. Sometimes I mix and match them. Sometimes I'll use it when I'm baking, or I'll just drink it straight. And it is, they're so good. They have a triplex protein blend, plant-based proteins that include pea, brown rice, and pumpkin that makes it so delicious. You can get fiber and superfood blends with more than 25 organic fibers and superfoods blended into one easy, delicious shake. And they also have 310's 4-Shake Flavor Starter Kit, which lets you sample all the flavors for only $9.
Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with Don't Blame Me and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 for your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and super easy to put together an order, or you can start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code BLAMEME right now for 50% off up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code BLAMEME.
In our live stream, our listeners are always recommending and talking about books. So we're so excited about Book of the Month because this is something that our listeners are going to love.
This is a brand that I've been familiar with for a long time. I like love watching people talk about it. I love seeing what books people are reading and like what books they have available. And I love everything about it. So I'm so excited for someone who like... You know, the ease of getting into a book, a lot of it can feel like really daunting. So to have like a service where it's like, you're going to get like high quality hardcover books, which that's my preferred way to read, at incredible prices, but also curated. So it's like amazing, cool, wonderful, great. This is, it's kind of like a straight shot into that, and something that Book of the Month you can do over and over and over again. And one of the great things about it is the longer you are part of the program, the cheaper the books get.
Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and promote the work of emerging authors. One of the amazing things about Book of the Month is that every aspect of Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. First of all, the books come in a bright blue box, which is very pretty. Me and Megan were just talking about them. There's also a fun app to pick your books and track reading progress. And as well, there are reading challenges and rewards.
And Book of the Month makes it really easy to decide what book to read next, which for me is like the biggest hurdle. I love when other people make choices for me, especially when they're good choices. And I'm like, cool, I can trust you. So each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles and they pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All of the books are so good, you can't go wrong. And I mean that wholeheartedly. When we were picking like our selects for this, I was like, wait, I like all of them. This is hard. And I literally coordinated with Melissa and I was like, okay, so these are like my top ones. I'm assuming they will be yours. So don't pick the same one as me. So then we can swap afterwards. And that's what we did.
So we got The Ministry of Time by Killian Bradley. And we also received The Return of Ellie Black by Emiko Jean.
The Ministry of Time is like, people are calling it like, if you're a fan of Outlander and like spy novels or time traveling books, it's quoted from Town and Country saying it's really innovative, fun storytelling. The Ministry of Time is definitely for you, and listed as 45 of the must read books for spring 2024. And then Harper's Bazaar also said part time travel romance, part spy thriller, and 100% multifaceted joyride. When I tell you that, I was like, sold.
We're also excited about The Return of Ellie Black. And this one is about a missing girl who returns, but that isn't the end of the story. It's only the beginning. We both like a detective book. This one is 20 years since Detective Chelsea Calhoun's sister vanishes. Ever since, Chelsea has been searching for signs for closure for other missing girls. But happy endings are rare in Chelsea's line of work, which that sounds so intriguing. And I'm looking forward to reading this novel so much.
Can't wait. And we're so excited to usher in this new sponsor. And we know y'all are already going to love this. Plus, we've been recommended this so many times. Mm-hmm. So we've already got fans in you. Try the service yourself at bookofthemonth.com. And you can get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That is your first book, $5 at bookofthemonth.com using code PETALS. We're back from our break and we have teleported.
Uh-huh.
If you are watching the video, this is a very large change of scenery.
Mm-hmm.
We have moved to my house because Melissa's power went out.
Yeah.
Maybe we should include that in the video.
Because you can see the video has all of everything. The next part that we're going to record, we've already recorded it, but yep. The audio, because the power went out, the audio, just everything shut down and we lost half of it.
It was really funny.
It was really funny. Our reactions will not be genuine anymore.
No, I'm an actor. Don't put me in a box like that. You don't know that I'm not going to be able to act my way through this.
Okay. My reaction, I'm a retired actor. So my reactions will not be genuine because I'm tired and I don't know how much I can fake.
Yeah. It is now 6:25 p.m. and
it went off at 4.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it's hot. And also, you were an early adapter to the power outage. So there was a lot of like, what is a different term for a first? Like you weren't a first responder, but you were the one who had to like let them know like, hey,
yeah,
this is a power. They're like, oh, we don't see it. And you're like, uh-huh. What happened here?
It happened. I had to make 2 phone calls to see one, and then when I made the first phone call, I was letting them know. And then the second time I called, they had the automatic system set up saying what time it will be back on. And it still won't even be back on for another hour. So,
yeah.
But the internet's back. The internet and so they have to be connected in some way, because this is what happened the other night when I woke up.
Yeah. Weird. Weird, weird, weird. So now all of you on Patreon, you get to experience my apartment. Nope.
Your
I live
house.
In a house.
You bought a house.
Yeah, Megan, don't downplay it after all this fucking time and energy. Okay, so that was the adventures of us. And I just want everyone to give us so many kudos for continuing to do this podcast, because we have to finish recording this and then we have to start recording our other podcast, Don't Blame Me. Uh-huh. And we're going to be surviving off of popsicles and Gatorade.
We're going to have to order food.
Well, oh, no, I know. But I mean, like, powering through, like, we're like sugar.
Yeah. All right. So, But Am I Wrong is the first segment of the show. And that's when Megan and I share either something that happened in our lives that we might be wrong about, but we're never wrong. So whatever. Or a hot take.
I can't wait to hear what you have for the class.
All right. So my But Am I Wrong this week is actually a hot take. And I know that we joke a lot about Big Milk and Big Printer and Big Sprinkles. But I actually, you know, strongly believe that behind every like big trend, there's actually a PR stunt behind it.
There's a Gail behind every Oprah. What's the other one? Is that actually not a saying?
I've never heard. I've heard it, but not in this context. Is that a Gail behind every Oprah? It's like behind every good man is a good woman or whatever that saying is.
But they're both like, famous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I guess PR is quiet. So yeah. You're okay. Yeah, wrong comparison.
Wrong comparison. We need it.
Behind every Melissa, there's a Megan. Behind every Megan, there's a Melissa. Side by side, there's Melissa and Megan.
Okay.
Okay, I'm good. I'm actually done talking now.
Okay, so I also think that we've all been brainwashed. I think one of the biggest ones that we don't talk about is Big Kale.
K-A-L-E.
K-A-L-E. Before the mid-2000s-ish, I guess, 10s. What do we call that?
2010s.
The 10s, yeah. Before the 2010s, we weren't eating kale as something that we put in our mouths. And this is American-wise, I want to say. I have to specify that. So
we are American.
Yes, we are Americans. Love the country. Red, white, and blue. Uncle Sam.
We should get into that later. I have no idea who the fuck Uncle Sam is. Like, who is that? Is Uncle Sam married to Betty Crocker? Like, what the fuck are these people?
Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country.
I can't believe that was like an actual slogan. Like, whoever was doing PR for the United States, fired.
So, before the 2010s, like I said, we didn't consume kale. It was a garnish. You'd walk into like a medium, almost fancy restaurant and they put like some popcorn shrimp on top of it. Or, excuse me.
You don't like shrimp.
I love a shrimp.
They're just like loogies.
I don't think you've had good shrimp, if you believe that.
I like shrimp cocktail.
Oh, I know.
And that's like, I know, because they're cold and delicious. But like, I also don't like a lot. Some foods are, I don't like hot.
Okay.
Okay.
That's fine. I don't like cooked fish. But I like raw fish.
Mm. Except shrimp's not fish. Okay.
It's a crustacean. But it's a crustacean. It's a shellfish.
Yeah.
Shellfish.
Soft shell. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. So you'd walk into these places or like a buffet and there would just be kale everywhere as a decoration. No one was eating it. It'd usually be sitting on top of ice and then there would be food on top of that.
That's
a bowl on top of it.
I can just picture my grocery store as a kid and like during the holiday season, a honey baked ham and just being surrounded by this curly green thing that I had no idea what the fuck it was.
Or you get like, you would ask for like a side of fruit at a restaurant and they bring it on top of a piece of it.
Shut the fuck up. I didn't even know that that was edible, nor did I know it was the kale we know today.
Right. Like, I remember my parents saying, oh, don't eat that. That's not edible. You can't eat that. It's very bitter. That's not, it's just there for look. Because I think I might have actually like taken a bite of it one time. And I was like, ugh, what the hell is this?
Yeah, an unmassaged kale is kind of like plastic.
Yeah. And so, and back in the day, Pizza Hut, they still might have it. I just haven't stepped foot in one in probably 20 years. Jeez. But they used to have like maybe still have a salad buffet that was just like all kale, covered in kale with toppings and stuff sitting on top of it. And up until 2013, Pizza Hut was the largest purchaser. I can't say that word. The largest buyer of kale. And in 2012, they bought 14,000 pounds of kale for their stores.
I can't even fathom how much that is because like kale's not heavy.
Right.
So like that's a lot.
Mm-hmm. And so this is how kale became the kale that we know today. So there's this woman named Oberon Sinclair who made kale famous. And so she is known as the Queen of Kale, and she founded the creative agency My Young Auntie.
It's just so fitting, branding-wise.
So great.
It's like she knew we had this podcast that you were going to talk to her about her on.
Mm-hmm. And so it all started when she took a trip to France and she had kale in her salad. And she was like, what is this? I like it. And they said, this is kale. And she's like, oh, what an interesting name. And so then she came back to New York City and she worked at this restaurant called the Fat Radish and had them put it on the menu. And people liked it. They were like, oh, a greener lettuce, not iceberg, not romaine. Kale.
What is this?
What is this? Looks like dinosaur. Don't get me started there. It all connects.
Dude, I don't even know why it's called dinosaur kale.
Big kale, big dinosaur.
Oh my gosh. There are so many through lines. This podcast, we're really uncovering the truth.
Uh-huh. Maybe we should change it to a truther podcast.
We need to change our category. Conspiracy theories and politics.
And so then she created the American Kale Association and made a Twitter and Facebook page for this. And it's fake. Like, there was no such thing as the American Kale Association. And when people asked her about it, she was like, I had to do it because I love the word association and I love associations. I just thought of it. Also, the initials are AKA. So for me, it was kind of tongue-in-cheek, humor, having fun. I also really like AKA.
Why?
It might just be greatest sorority that there ever was.
Actually true. Look on their Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
Hit after hit after hit.
After hit. And so for a while, people really believed that the American Kale Association existed. But then, like, the National Farmers Union and the Fresh Produce Association were like, that's not it. That's not a thing. And so because it was so popular, though, like so many people had followed it on Twitter and signed up for it on Facebook, they made an official kale lobbying group in the U.S. And in 2015, Sinclair admitted to a reporter to Mind Body Green that she made up the organization for the campaign.
There's no legal repercussions against that, right? Because, like, an association, like, you don't have to, like, can't, you know what I mean? Like, you can have a formal or informal association.
Right.
And it's not government
kale.
Funded.
Like, it's not like,
yeah,
no one owns kale.
No, yeah.
And so, so that all happened after 2014, after everyone started eating kale because, you know, this woman made it famous. And this was after Forever First Lady Michelle Obama was seen eating kale chips on Jimmy Fallon. And Beyonce had in her 7-Eleven video that shirt that said kale that which was in, you know, in the same typeface as like college stuff, like, you know, Yale or also therapy as we've had.
Oh, yeah. Check out our merch.
Uh-huh. There's only a few left of those.
Yeah,
so
check them out and bookmark the page because something might be coming soon.
Something might be popping off soon. And so in 2014, Whole Foods went from barely stocking kale at all to selling 22,000 bunches per day.
What the fuck?
And many small time kale chip producers became multimillionaires practically overnight.
I hope they all named their children after her.
They're all named Kill. Now we're eating chips and we're having smoothies. We're putting it in our salads. And it's all because of Oberon. And I hope I'm saying her name right. I couldn't find any videos. Mm. Sinclair, who became the ultimate influencer for Big Kale. And this is my case study on why everything.
We're living in a simulation.
My case study on why everything is a scam. She scammed Big Kale. And, like, it wasn't like she really, she profited in the long run, but it wasn't like because she founded this agency and they have a ton of big
massive
clients.
Proof of concept.
Yeah. And so, but she didn't know what was to become of this.
This is a story that she will be telling her grandchildren for years upon years. Like, when I was your age,
But like people have come to her and she's like, this is boring. Like, why do you care?
About like other.
Like, no, like about like how oh. she did this.
Oh, see, now that's intriguing to me because I think this is iconic and I would love too. A documentary. But if she's just kind of blasé about it, I'm like, so what do you do now? Like, what are the other things? Because I would like an investigation, or I would like to know if she is behind Big Avocado. Avocados from Mexico. That is like constant rerun in my mind, always. Avocados, like.
She's behind Free People.
Oh, recently?
I mean, it's on her website.
I just would love to know, A, is she, does she do avocado? Does she know? Is there a rivalry between her? Because I think of this all the time when it comes to like the publicity behind avocados. Not just that like avocados are on menus or whatever. Like, yeah, they're around, especially California. My thing is the commercials. I have commercials on or constantly for avocados. Not saying go buy your avocados at Ralph's. It's just avocados from Mexico. That's it. There's no call to action. It's just we want to make you consumers aware of avocados. I'm like, I'm aware, but who the fuck is paying for this ad space? I want to know that. I want to know nut milks. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, I have a client for her.
Who?
Hawaiian Roll. As the two biggest fans of Hawaiian Rolls and the entire Hawaiian Roll brand.
Yeah. The whole everything about it.
They're so low key. Like nobody knows that they have a restaurant that have either of us been?
No. But are we their biggest fans?
Yes.
Most definitely.
Do we look at the menu and go, fuck, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen? Uh-huh. Yeah. Like they make one amazing product that we all know about, but they're just turning out hit after hit after uh-huh. hit. And we don't even know about it. And I think if we could connect her to them, it would be our in with the Hawaiian Roll brand. And then I can use that as leverage for some gluten-free.
Nice.
I just think that that is.
Who do we go to first?
Well, where is she based? Because Hawaiian Roll is pretty fucking close.
She is known as the woman who single-handedly rejuvenated the reputation and widespread resurgence of Kale across the world as seen as on celebrities such as Beyonce's Kale sweatshirt in the 2013 music video 7-Eleven. So, yes.
I'm unwell. If I knew where anything was, I would look for my Kale shirt. But I don't. Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. You know, we love nothing more than a big conspiracy theory when it solely pertains to consumer goods mm-hmm. and is just about the overexposure of things and the scams, not about any other conspiracy theories except for these.
Right. And this is true. So it's not even a conspiracy.
No, but it was just a hypothesis that we had. Uh-huh. And we were getting proven correct over and right. over and over again. So if anybody knows anything else connected to this, because you know, we're connecting it all. Mm-hmm. Big Kale.
We gotta have one of the big, things. No, with the...
I need to. Mm-hmm. Big Printer, Big Sprinkle. We've got some strong feelings. So let us know if you know of any other ones. My But Am I Wrong for this week, I did initially tell Melissa, just like the little headline, it's a hot take. And she went, oh, I don't know. And that's how I knew that it's probably something I should do.
When you initially said it, you didn't say the caveat that came with it.
I just waited for the shock factor.
Yeah.
And my hot take is faking mental illness is mental illness. And there is some current stuff going on social media with a specific creator that I'm not going to get into specifics about that. And if you know me personally or even my internet presence, you know my feelings about this person. But this isn't about this person. This is like a much bigger concept. But the idea of people faking illnesses like Munchausen's by proxy, all of that, that's not new, nor is it something that is as widely spread and prevalent as we seem to think. And when now it is transferred over to mental health, which Munchausen by proxy, like that, if anyone doesn't know, it's like the done in the sense of like usually like Munchausen's by proxy, like think of Gypsy Rose Blanchard, like a parent putting fake, quote unquote, or undiagnosed, not real illnesses onto a child that they don't have. And it can happen. But the turning of that into like mental health becomes so dangerous because mental health is not something that you can take like a blood test for. It's not something that is like proven in anything. It's like self-reported. And that's why it's so hard for people to get help, because you have to do so much like self-advocating, and your treatment plan is purely based off of the symptoms that you are telling another person, and they have to kind of believe you. And when we comment on people's content, or we discuss mental health as a whole, and then accuse certain people of faking their mental illness for attention or clout or accolades or money or anything, that as a concept of accusing that is like furthering the stigma of mental health so much, because it makes other people who are going through things, you don't know that this person isn't, but also makes other people going through things going, oh, implying that you can fake it also implies that you can turn it on and turn it off. Uh-huh. And you can't do that. It just furthers the stigma of mental health. If nobody else is going to want feel comfortable coming forward to get help, because people are going to think they're faking it already, even if it's not like to an audience or performative. I don't know anybody who like, and maybe I know a couple people, but like almost everyone I know, myself included, like first time I started having troubles with my mental health, it was very much like, you're fine. You don't know that. Like, it's okay. Like, you're like, there's nothing wrong with you. Like, you're just being dramatic, blah, blah, blah. And that's like the exact same rhetoric that we're having online. And it is not a positive kind of attention, nor does it like get you money. And if someone is perchance faking a mental illness, that in itself is a mental illness. Nobody who's mentally stable would do that. Like that, this, you can't look at a situation like that that's so black and white. Like this person is like either guilty of something or they are a victim of something. And it's like, well, no, because if you think like, oh no, pitchforks out, like you're lying about this, like you don't actually have this mental illness that you say that you have. And it's like, okay, well, do you think anyone who is in the right mind would lie about that? Mm-hmm. No. That's an issue in itself. Like, and the nitpicking of someone behaving in a way that you decide is this for my entertainment? Is it not? I think what it really boils down to is like people are embarrassed to admit that they are entertained by someone else's like struggle and someone else's like potential psychotic episode. And instead of recognizing that and going, wow, I might be a bad person in this instance. I might be doing something that's like really, really shitty. It's like, of course I can't be doing that. This had to be designed for my entertainment. I'm not entertained by it. It was designed for that. Like, so I am the victim of this person doing this charade because that was their goal. And now I am the victim as opposed to I need to reevaluate how I consume content of other people's lives and how I speak about it. And it just drives me crazy. And as I say all the time, just talk shit about people behind their backs. Like, just if that's what you need to do, write in your fucking diary of like, I think this person do the blah, blah, blah. But when it takes to social media, sure, the famous person you might see, or even someone on your For You page who's not like a content creator but happens to have a viral video, you speculating about that, even going on Reddit and things that feel anonymous, you might think that those people won't ever see it, and they might not, but like your friends might see it. Mm-hmm. Like your family might see it, like all these other people. And you can't really have exceptions to the rule of like seeing someone go through something and going, they're faking this, but I don't think anyone else who's doing it's faking it. And it's right. Like, but why? You don't have anything there to kind of, you know, decide between it. But it's a mental illness in itself. And yeah, I just,
yeah,
it's not a catch-all. Like, oh, they're faking this.
There's always a reason behind something happening.
Yeah. Like when you look at like people who do like really viral, like things that you're like, holy shit, I would never do that. And it's like, yeah, so why would they do that? Like, what's the big difference there, do you think? And like, there is like a huge moral and ethical disconnect. That's not usually just a choice for quote unquote clout. Again, if you wouldn't do that for clout, most people wouldn't do it for clout. And the people who are doing it, there's something else there. So that's my hot take. It's about faking mental illness.
Well, I don't believe you're wrong.
Thank you. I don't believe I'm wrong either. I truly, I'm never wrong. So it is convenient.
True, true, true.
Okay.
All right. So next we're going to get into, but are you wrong? And that's when y'all write in and ask for our input on a situation, and then we take it to the vote with everyone to see if you're wrong in it. And the way that you do that is that you write into butamiwrongpod@gmail.com and keep it to 300 words or less, or you will have to resubmit.
And Venmo us money. It'd be nice, a fee.
I'm 27, and everyone in this story uses pronouns she, her. I work in a local coffee shop as a shift lead and in charge of training new people. Last week, I trained a 20-year-old girl whom we'll call Ashley. Ashley is a sweet girl and disclosed several things with me involving a boyfriend dying of a drug overdose and her moving in with her 18-year-old boyfriend after having only been together 3 months. On her third day of working, she told me she was nauseous and I was worried she was sick. But no, she was actually 6 weeks pregnant. I asked the next day if it was something she wanted. We live in a red-leaning state. And if it wasn't, I would adjust my support accordingly. And she said they were excited. Personal judgment aside, I kept all this to myself because it's none of my business. A few days later, my boss texted on my day off asking, "Ashley's pregnant? I think that's something I should have been told. I've got her out with some morning sickness, and this becomes a reliability factor." I responded, "Ashley told me in confidence a few days ago, and she wasn't far along and hadn't told many people yet. Since those were the circumstances, it didn't feel like any of my business to share with anyone, and that it was her responsibility to tell anyone. Am I wrong for not telling my boss that my coworker is pregnant? P.S. Ashley was the one who ratted me out to my boss for keeping that business to myself when she called in sick." No, you're not wrong, because legally, you don't have to tell an employer that you're pregnant at all. Like, you can go into labor while at work and never have to tell them
that you had a stomach ache.
Yeah, like, you don't have to tell them at all. Unless, like, you're seeking special accommodations, but according to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, employers can't ask you, and you as another employee are not responsible at all for telling anyone. Like, you're not supposed to.
I think you would be in legal trouble if she decided to press charges.
It's her responsibility to tell anyone if she wants to tell them. Yeah. That doesn't fall on you at all. So your boss even saying that to you is a problem. That means that they don't understand. And I'm taking into the account that you are in the United States too. You might be in another country. Oh yeah, yeah. Red states. So you're in the United States. So not your responsibility, not your problem. And if your boss gives her shit, then that's part of the problem too. So they can't say or do anything. She cannot be fired or her hours cut back because she's pregnant unless she asks for those herself.
Yeah, I think the thing you are wrong about is the statement that you said, personal judgments aside, that to me...
That is a personal judgment.
Yeah, like, I don't need to know what you think about this. And I don't know, I don't love an age difference between like an 18 and a 20-year-old. It's not
massive. I think
massive.
It's the 3 months that she...
No, and that's what I mean. But I don't even think that the age difference is what the commentary is on, but...
You have no right to judge this person.
No. And I also think that, like, young moms get so much unnecessary judgment when we are taught as women from such a young age that your entire thing is to be a mom. Your calling is to be a mom. You have to be a mom. You have to be a mom. You have to be a mom. Like, you have to be pretty for boys. You have to do all of this, like, very, like, heteronormative motherhood sort of things. And then when that happens, not at the exact right time, but the people tell you that they want you to do it, it becomes, like, a shameful thing. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, all you've been telling me my entire life is to, like, be attractive for men, be desirable for men, and, like, become a mom. Mm-hmm. And I did that, what? If I do that 2 years too early or 2 years too late, judgment.
Right.
And it's just, like, very fucked, and young moms don't get a ton of support. And you can be, I have, like, friends who are young moms, and, like, they're, like, absolutely amazing.
My sisters are young moms.
Yeah. And I just think that there's so much unnecessary judgment, and especially when that comes from other women, and you're 27, I just think that, like, you know better than to look at that with judgment, especially because... She, like, has clearly gone through it recently, and it's not uncommon to move on to another relationship pretty, like, intensely after something like that. But yeah, no, you're definitely not wrong for not telling your boss. If you told your boss, I think you'd literally be in, like, legal trouble, and you'd probably have to be fired.
Yep.
So, but I think Melissa's
and
right.
And your boss asking you this also puts them in legal jeopardy, too.
Yeah, so I would tell Ashley that she told you that, like, you talked about it, and then make sure she knows her legal rights, and then make sure your boss knows that you both know her legal rights.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would also, like, just brush up on, like, everything pertaining to your job, like, legal protection-wise, even not related to, like, pregnancy and, like, equal employment opportunity stuff. Because if she's, like, going to so blatantly, like, disrespect that, she might be doing it in, like, other avenues areas of your career. Yeah.
I remember one time I was on a job interview and they asked me, it was like to the thing of like when I was interviewed, like the first round by the CEO lady, and then was interviewed by other people that worked there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys there asked me, he was like, you're not going to like start a family soon because that's why the other person left.
That's fucked.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, like in the United States, it's actually you're better off not telling anyone that you work with when even when you're applying for a job, like mm-hmm. not telling them that you're pregnant. And then at a certain point, it is smart to tell them you're pregnant because then they can't yep. fire you.
Yep.
Because a lot of the times they will, if they suspect that you're pregnant, they will fire you before you've told them
mm-hmm.
so they can like skirt around it.
Yep.
It's fucked.
So it's yours.
I-25 female finished university in December 2019. My graduation ceremony was canceled due to COVID and rescheduled twice. It finally took place yesterday. From the beginning, my boyfriend of nearly 3 years, 23 male, told me he didn't want to come because he didn't want to sit through a 3-hour-long ceremony in the heat. I don't disagree with that, but I would never fucking say it. At first, it didn't bother me, but after our two other friends and my friend's boyfriend were so keen on coming, it started to bother me, especially when everyone asked where he was. He was working, he's a waiter, but he could have actually taken it off. We had a graduation barbecue with family and friends afterwards. His friend, who lives 12 hours away and visits once a year, but he also drove to her with other friends in May for her graduation. She was in town and he was missing seeing her. She lives in 2 days after my party to come. So just as a little quick breakdown, he skipped the barbecue to go mm-hmm. see the friend because she was going to be gone in 2 days after. And he drove to her graduation in May.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The party ended up ending earlier than I thought, 10 p.m. on a Monday, and I have work the next day, and he seemed visibly upset because he could have driven and planned better to go see his friend who was out at the bars afterwards. He ended up going to see her after the party in the end. This made me upset because it seemed like he was mad he was missing funner plans for my graduation party. Am I wrong for being upset he didn't come to my graduation and for being visibly upset about the party ending? I don't think it's about the funner party.
Nope. It's about the company.
Yeah, sadly. Ooh, yeah. This man is unfaithful. Emotionally.
I don't know about physically, but definitely emotionally.
Yeah.
I personally want a partner, and it seems like the writer as well wants a partner that's going to be supportive of them and not wanting to come to the graduation, but also going to this other person's graduation in May and then being more excited about seeing them at a bar than being there to celebrate your achievement sounds shitty to me.
Yeah, it's not the circumstance, it's the company, right?
Yep.
And I think this is, yeah, it's fucked. Like, mm-hmm. you can be like, damn, I don't ever really want to go to graduations are like long, they're hot, they're not fun, but I, like, any friends that I really wanted to go, like, I, like, would fly to go to someone's graduation because I wanted to be there because I care about them. And then if I even got invited to one that was, like, local, even if I didn't really want to go, I would still totally go because you don't get unlimited tickets. Like, it's right. actually really kind that someone who they want you to come to their graduation, they could pick whoever. Like, they don't have 1,000 fucking tickets. And this is, like, I want you to experience this and see this.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that, like, he knows that it's important because he made the fucking trip to somebody else's graduation. And, like, he picked, I don't know, this sounds so bad, but I think you'd probably need to reframe this instead of saying he picked the other graduation in May and he picked going to the bar over me. Like, he's picking this girl over you.
Yep.
And this is not.
It's not okay.
No, he's treating his friends better than he's treating you.
Mm-hmm.
And then making you feel shitty for wanting to even just be treated like a friend, even though you're in like a romantic relationship.
You're not wrong. And dump him.
Yep. dump him fast, dump him quickly, and dump him outside in the heat after a 3-hour conversation.
Yeah.
As we go on, just play it on a loop.
We remember.
I hated that.
All the times we spent together.
All right, let's take another break. My throat is raspy.
Yeah, like, dude, that's gonna hurt you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Back.
Yeah.
Nope. Now it's time for But Are They Wrong, aka the vote of the week, where we nominate the absolute worst person this week. Or to be fair, there's so many people to choose from constantly. So
this,
like,
week was a plethora.
So much.
I want to give honorable mention to Ari Spears. He said some very vile and disgusting things about Lizzo and then doubled down on them.
Who?
Alleged comedian.
What's his name?
Ari Spears. He was on Mad TV back in the day. That's okay. The only thing I remember him from. And so he can fuck all the way off. And I won't be repeating what he said because it was disgusting. But Lizzo's already dealt with him, but I just wanted to put it out there.
Oh, God. I don't even know who this man is or what he said, but I am on your side and I'm on Lizzo's side.
Yeah. So then my actual nomination is dentist Nicholas Nicosai. Nicosia and real estate agent Mary Zindarsik Nicosia. They're a couple, probably pronounce all that incorrectly, but they're a couple from Rochester, New York, and they threw a racist Juneteenth theme party. And so this firefighter, a black firefighter named Jarrett Jones, was forced to go there by his superior.
Was there a fire call?
Nope. And the party featured a display mocking the Juneteenth holiday. And there were Juneteenth flags on display over buckets of fried chicken. So then they held a press conference and said at this press conference with their lawyer present, Corey Hogan, that the party was anti-liberal and not anti-Juneteenth. And Hogan showed an invitation that described the party as a liberal smashing splish splash party, and that the fried chicken was not meant as a racist trope, but simply as a convenient food choice. And then they said that the party had been mischaracterized and they weren't racist at all.
Of course they weren't.
But then unpromptedly, the woman, what's her name? Mary, she admitted to, at this press conference, admitted to running, like the press conference was over and she kind of came back to the stand and
sounds like Veep.
Admitted to running a racist Twitter account. It's an anonymous Twitter account that posts racist images and content, but she again denied being racist. I have made blatantly racist comments. This is a quote. I have made blatantly racist comments under that persona. She said, the culture of Twitter operates that way. It gives you an opportunity to be someone that you're not.
I just catfished as a racist.
Yeah. And so then, like, they're going on this. I guess they thought this, like, press conference would be like an apology tour because they've lost dental patients and real estate people from their circle. And this is a quote from Nicholas. He said, we were tried and convicted on social media in a false narrative that was created. And so then Jones, the firefighter, a 14-year-old veteran of the fire department, said that his captain, like I said, forced him and another colleague to attend the party while they were on duty. and he filed a notice of claim against the city of Rochester and the fire department seeking at least $3 million for emotional distress and at least $1 million in compensatory damages. And then the fire captain, Jeffrey K-R-Y-W-Y, Crywy? I don't know. Whoever this Jeffrey, the fire captain, was suspended by the department and then later retired. I'm just tired.
Dude, the amount of effort.
Yeah.
For what they are defending is, I mean, they're denying any of it, but like their true reasoning is they think it's like funny and a joke. And I'm like, all this effort, all that money, and not a single laugh was had. So who held the press conference?
They did. And the lawyer.
Normal people can just like have a, how do you let people know that you're having a press conference?
Because it was already like in the media a lot.
Okay.
And they probably they have money and sway. So they were just like, we're holding a press conference. Anybody can hold a press conference. We can hold it. That doesn't guarantee anybody will show up. Yeah. It doesn't guarantee anybody will show up, but anybody can hold a press conference.
What the fuck? Wow. That is really funny because this is not included in this episode, but off camera, I was informing Melissa on the origin of the Sydney Sweeney party thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, people, there's like a lot of white people who are like, oh my gosh, this is like, who would do this? This is like unheard of. And it's like, oh no.
This shit is happening all the time. Also with these people too, they keep saying there's no photos because they don't want to incriminate. There's other people in the community that were there. But they're not trying to get incriminated. So everybody's like hiding their photos and stuff from the party.
How old are these people, you think?
50, 60.
Oh my gosh. Nobody, not one of them has a passcode on their phone that's not the same four letters repeated. Somebody just swipe that. Yeah, their practice, they should be torn to shreds. It should be, they should be like, that should literally be like a literal crime. Like you should be actually punished by that and not just by like society being cast out or like losing some patients at your practice. Like
yep.
Genuinely just like being like hateful and racist, even if it doesn't involve someone physically being harmed. I don't think that like, I think he should get everything for in the lawsuit, obviously. But I also think that it should be like a literal crime.
Yep.
Awful. Absolutely awful. Mine is definitely a bit more lighthearted.
I like that.
And I don't know if this is even like recent news. Let me just check because it did come across my desk.
your desk, your news desk.
Yep. Oh, yeah. August 15th. I would also like to give an honorable mention to everybody who was involved in Britney Spears' conservatorship. The voice memo that she released is they continue to be like the most upsetting things I've heard, especially like as someone who has like been in. She's decently older than me, but like I grew up with her. She was always around. And so the knowing what was going on behind the scenes versus like how the media had portrayed all of this. And I also think that how we treated Britney Spears is actually one of like the largest culprits to the mental health stigma. And I just want to say a massive fuck you to Jamie Spears, Lynn Spears, and Jamie Lynn Spears. And also Kevin Federline. That's just my honorable mention. My real one, virtual influencer Lily Michaela is who I would like to nominate.
I know nothing about this.
I don't want to sound like I'm not being cognizant of pronouns.
But it's a fake person.
It's an AI influencer, and they are now the face of PacSun.
Is it the one that trolls Chrissy Teigen all the time?
Nope, that's a different one. Okay. It's not a hot take. I can't fucking stand AI influencers as a concept. And this is not coming from a place of like, oh my gosh, like this is what I do. Like I do content creation and this is blah, blah. No. There's the amount of like work that goes into like CGI, especially like doing CGI on a daily basis for something that's, you know, coming up with content and then having to do all this shit on top of it. It's very impressive, but this is fucked because brands can approach this person to do that. There's actually no repercussions of this person like having a brand being like, oh, does this person align with our brand? Doesn't matter. This person is not real. They can mold to fit whatever brand that they want you to be. And more than anything, all of these AI influencers are thin, very like standard Eurocentric beauty standards. So you mean to tell me when you design a quote unquote perfect AI influencer, you make them all look the same. And we have such an issue with representation because algorithms, as we've learned from like TikTok specifically, they favor a certain look of people, and those tend to be like thin white women. And so instead of like now that the landscape is finally starting to expand, it's like, we're going to make a fake influencer and pick them instead of picking actual real people who have real stories and real lives you can connect to.
What's the name of this thing?
Her name is Lil Mikayla.
Lil, even the name.
And Mikayla's M-I-Q-U-E-L-A.
So many ways to spell. Oh, I've seen this thing.
She's a quote-unquote L.A. native, 19-year-old, which I also have an issue with. Why are we making her? And looks pretty fucking young.
Mm-hmm.
She's 2 or 3 million followers known as Mikaylians. They leave hundreds of comments on her post complimenting her youthful look and authenticity.
She's at 3 million now.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's really, really, really creepy and gross and like a very obvious commentary on our society and how we view women, that like we are going to make a fake woman to be the perfect woman, and that perfect woman happens to be 19 years old, have a baby face, be thin, and like Eurocentric beauty standards, and she will do whatever a brand asks her to do. There are no pushbacks. Like, there is no real person there, and like no real collaboration.
But who's the person behind it?
I don't know at all.
Also, this Photoshop is really bad. Like, you can see I know you're trying to be with an Olsen twin, but you can see the difference in shading.
Listen to this. Oh my God, this actually like drives me fucking crazy. So this is from Input Magazine. On paper, or we should say on screen, Mikayla's a perfect candidate for the sponsorship. She'll never age. Clothes will always fit her perfectly in advertisements, and she'll do exactly what you ask of her. While virtual influencers do pose a threat to the careers of IRL models, the metaverse seems to be the ideal outlet for humanoid digital creations. PacSun's decision to enlist a virtual influencer in its upcoming campaigns, especially one as widely liked as Mikayla, may open the door for other brands to follow suit. Now listen to this. Brianne Olson, president at PacSun, said in a release that Mikayla's involvement in the Black Lives Matter movement and the Rally the Vote campaign aligned with the brand's core values. Mikayla's become a digital muse for PacSun, and we're thrilled to be working with a great example of a strong female advocate and inspiration. Mikayla was also named the most influential person on the planet by Time. There are real people who exist.
Yeah, why don't you pick an actual Black person then?
Who, like, has, like, a lived experience.
Uh-huh. And they're also coming from, like, a ethnically ambiguous-looking person as well.
It's just, like, so fucked because brands have a history of, like, taking advantage and, you know, capitalism, consumerism, like, corporate America. They have a history of that. And I have missed out on, like, lots of brand deals because I'm too politically, like, outspoken, and there are like certain brands and like certain like large conglomerates that AI won't work with, but also won't work with me. And there's no pushing back on this. Like, there is no, this doesn't align with me and my values and my feelings. And I'm coming at this from like, again, a lived experience. But no, you're going to use someone who's not real in the era and the time that we're already calling people out for. Whether it's like not owning up to plastic surgery and enhancements, but then also just like photoshopping the shit out of your pictures. We're going one step ahead of that and we're making fake women.
Yep.
And the fact that like a brand that is predominantly, as far as I know, the largest consumer base of PacSun is young women. And when you make a fake woman the face of that, we already can't live up to other real women who are making themselves the plastic, like the airbrushed version of themselves, but we sure as hell can't fucking live up to a fake one.
Yep. This is messed up. She even has like a fake house. It's, that has a floor plan with it.
It's really fucked. And also, I don't know what the tie into it is, but every fucking article I read about it, there is some tie into NFTs.
Of course it is.
And I think that the ability to make something like this is amazing. Put this on your put this like in your doc when you're pitching for things. It's like a wonderful like grad school project of actually creating like an AI person. But like, I don't need you in the world, and like women don't need you to make this person famous and like make this like a real online thing. Like, this doesn't need to be like a social experiment to see if you can do that, because like the underlying message of this is not like, wow, digital creations have gotten so advanced and there's so much skill here. It's women are replaceable. Yep. And perfect women exist and we can make them. And we don't need you. And I just fucking hate it. And I think it's so gross and so creepy. And I'm highly disappointed in PacSun for aligning with them.
Well, I agree with you. We have reached the end of the episode.
What a journey.
Literally.
Literally, what a journey it's been. We hope you all enjoyed. Please, this has been such a feat for us. Please go engage on Instagram. Make sure you follow us there. Vote for this episode for who you think was wrong. They will be up Friday or before Monday. Read them all before you vote. If you vote wrong, you can send us a message and let us know. If you are featured in this and you want to give us a little update or any more additional information, just send us a DM. So follow our personal ones too, because we really went through it today.
Yeah.
And we'll
circle
back. Disgusting. We'll circle back next week.
Pervert.
Bye. Bye. But Am I Wrong is a production by me, Megan Rinks.
And me, Melissa DeMonts, plus Diamond Imprint Productions.
Post-production by Coco Lorenz.
And production assistance by Melanie D. Watson.